right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. David Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are taking your phone calls, as always, at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight, but unfortunately, we've only got half hour to do it. The good news is we're kicking it over to Monday Night Football. There's a doubleheader on tonight, starting here on WGCL at 6:30, so short show tonight. New Orleans is at Minnesota in the opener, and then the Chargers are at Denver in the nightcap tonight on Monday Night Football, and we'll have them both for you here on WGCL. We'll be back with you Wednesday for a full show, and then starting next Monday, you get in the zone and in the red zone, taking you from 6 to 7:45 throughout the rest of the fall and into our regular Monday Night broadcasts. But again, 6:30 tonight, we'll kick it over to Monday Night Football and leave you until Wednesday. But in the meantime, plenty to talk about. The Colts stink. I'm not sure that's a surprise, but they sure stunk up the joint out there in L.A., the venerable L.A. Coliseum. They still haven't wiped it all out of there, and I'm not sure when they're going to get it out, but they better hurry because they'll have games this weekend. But on the other hand, the IU Hoosiers went on the road and did not stink. In fact, they played a very nice game at Virginia. This is a game a few years ago. I remember a lot of people, a lot of IU fans saying, nah, we're just going to Virginia. It's ACC. They stink. And then got beat by about 40 points. Virginia is not at the top of the ACC. There's no question about that. But a lot of reasons to be a little scared about this trip for the Hoosiers. First of all, the Hoosiers are not Ohio State and Michigan, and neither was Ohio State this past weekend. But, Glass, Ohio State was Ohio State when they showed up in Indiana, and there was so much made out of that game and so much built into that game, and game day was there, and it was the biggest opener in the history of IU football and all that yada, yada, yada stuff. You always have to first wonder how your team is going to recover from either a big win or a big letdown loss. And it was a big letdown loss for the Hoosiers. But the question becomes then right away, how do they recover from that? Because that was a game not a lot of people expected them to win against Ohio State anyways. But they need to get to six wins, so they need wins. And the math says they need this one. Pretty important that they got their heads together, and it sure looks like they did a pretty good job at that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected them to run the home slate with only six games on it, and Ohio State being one of them. But the other factor I thought that helped, and we talked about this last week, was Indiana had two extra days to prepare. Thursday night game gave them Friday and Saturday off, and before going on your first road game of the season, boy, that couldn't hurt anything. A couple of days to get in some extra film work, some extra time to scout your opponent, some time to heal up and figure out how to get your feet back on the floor and start playing good, solid football. And I think you saw a lot of that. I don't know if it was the extra 2 days. I'm telling you, it couldn't have hurt one bit.
Sure.
But to throw those kids in that situation, Tom Allen, first time on the road getting a win. It's never easy to win games on the road. It's never easy to win them against Power 5 conferences. You know, you're not Ohio State until you are Ohio State. And they didn't. They struggled at home against a really good team. So Indiana, I don't think it was a trap game per se, but it was a game they needed to do some things better. And I don't think anybody had this one scripted out that Peyton Ramsey would come in midway through the second quarter and absolutely turn Indiana's offense into a something we hadn't seen for a quarter and a half, because Richard Lego flatly struggled. He was 3 of 10 for 24 yards and a pick. The balls he was intending to target were all not accurate. And that was interesting, because I thought he was pretty accurate against Ohio State.
He was very accurate.
You didn't see that against the Buckeyes.
Right.
But he wasn't giving his receivers a chance to make plays. The running game was going nowhere. The line wasn't playing as well as it could. And what Indiana did there wasn't surprising, because we did see Peyton Ramsey against Ohio State.
They said they're going to give him a little time. So,
and the question today was posed, well, was that designed? Well, yes, he was designed to play, but there's no chance in heck we're going to take him out if he's playing well.
Exactly. I mean, it went right down
and
the field.
The ball started moving. The Virginia defense probably saw him take those 12 snaps against Ohio State and said, okay, this is going to be a package type deal.
Right.
It's not going to be 3 or 2.5 quarters of something we're not prepared for.
Remember, he comes in with the one major difference of his legs than Richard Lego.
Yep.
And we don't know how accurate he is of a thrower, but he appears to be okay.
Now, I'll give Lego some credit. He did scramble for that first down and dove for it. That was new, and that's exciting too. I'm writing that down.
He did. But again, when you saw Ramsey in the Ohio State game, he came in order to give a running spark to the Hoosiers, and that's all he did.
Yep.
I mean, I think it was 1, 2, 3, and boom, get out of there. And that was the end of Peyton Ramsey, rather. So that's all Virginia had on tape of him.
And it wasn't much, and the Hoosiers took advantage of it. And Ramsey took advantage of it because he made good decisions. They talked about this today at the press conference. they were worried about when you throw a guy in, if the game's going to speed up or slow down, and they thought everything Ramsey did was slow.
Yeah.
That was good. Yep. He took his time. He didn't force any throws. He didn't make quick decisions to bail out of the pocket and move. You saw him hang, because he has receivers that can get physical advantages. I mean, he has receivers that can get open.
Let's be fair. The first touchdown of the game is a quick hit slant, or a quick curl, basically,
to
Simi Cobbs, who ran another 60 yards sideways and up the field and across the field and made everybody miss with a couple blocks. But he made a play, and Peyton Manning got him the ball, got him in a good spot, and gave him a chance to make a play, which is what he has. He has guys who can make plays.
And the simple fact of that play was he gave Cobbs a chance to catch the football.
Yeah.
That's what Lego wasn't doing, and that's why they decided to again, maybe they moved up his time frame. I don't know if that was scheduled or what, but the offense wasn't going anywhere.
That was about the same time as Ohio State.
I'll call him Patrick Ramsey. He was an NFL quarterback too, right?
Sure.
So we'll just get this completely confused.
Eventually it'll be Patrick Stewart.
What Ramsey did a great job was he put the ball in play to let his receivers make plays. Mm-hmm. He didn't force things that weren't there. He waited. He waited for guys to get open. He completed his first 11 passes, finished 16 of 20.
Didn't turn it over.
And the second part of that, like you mentioned, his 26-yard scramble was not a hike and go.
Yeah.
It was look, roll, and then go, and look at all the green space in front of you. So you have a double threat there, and Ramsey took care of his chances. And that was fantastic for Indiana to see. Fantastic for two reasons. Number one, they weren't afraid to keep him in there. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, the throw he made to Cobbs wasn't an all-star highlight reel, but it was a right play.
It was a quick hook.
Yeah.
And he's standing there with his chest. You got to hit him in the chest. He did that. No, exactly.
That's what it takes.
It was not a moment of brilliance, to be fair.
It wasn't.
But it was out of Simi Cobbs, and you gave him the chance to do it.
He didn't make three escapes to make that throw.
Right.
He did what he did, and Mike DeBoard said it today. He did everything within the play we asked him to do and made the plays happen. So he didn't have to go out of what Peyton Ramsey normally does to stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He did what their offense suggested. We've heard DeBoard talk about this before, saying, I don't want you to be a hero as a quarterback. I want you to run the plays we call and do that.
How many times have we talked about in so many sports, but especially in football, the first thing you have to do in any position, but especially the quarterback, is not screw up.
That's exactly right.
Don't hurt your team is first and foremost. And it sounds so defeatist as a theory, as a philosophy, but it's the absolute truth. Do not put your team in a bad position. Put them in a good position. Peyton Ramsey took three sacks. Nobody remembers any of those sacks because none of them hurt you. None of them put you in a bad position. They all gave you a chance to get out of what just happened. And that's the first thing that Peyton Ramsey did is he put you in the right stuff. He didn't put you into bad stuff. He made all the right reads, all the smart things. And that's why he got to stay on the field. If he shows up and throws an interception on his third pass, he's gone and Richard Lego's back in there.
You're probably exactly right. And before the Cobbs play, it was a 19-yard pass to Majette. So again, he took what was given to him.
Patience there.
He looked, three-man rush.
Everybody drops so far back. He's got Majette sitting underneath.
Majette does a good job getting
very
up the field. So it was simplistically beautiful. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't something that was a total individualistic play that caused it.
Right.
It was running within the means of the offense and executing, and I think that's what the key was. And the second big takeaway from this game was special teams with Tom Allen are different.
And they matter.
You saw it at Ohio State with Whitehead doing a good job punting there, pinning them deep.
They never got anything out of returns against Ohio State.
They did.
But obviously, punt returns were huge in this game.
They were huge in this game. And Whitehead, again, pinning guys inside the 20 for fun, shifting field position on a team that wasn't very good on offense, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
which took them out of what they wanted to do when they're first and goal, going the other way on their 6, on their 8, on their 3, on their 13, whatever those were. You could see them physically uncomfortable about trying to run stuff because when their quarterback tried to throw the ball more than 10 yards, he was hyper inaccurate. He was JT Barrett-esque in that sense. So those were huge plays. And Jay Sean Harris made a boo-boo. Tom Allen talked about it today. He said, hey, you can't catch it there. I'll never know why in 100 years he caught it there. But we gave him another chance. We said we believed in him. Go out there and do it. 44-yard return, touchdown.
Yeah, and,
huge,
and earlier
huge
in the game,
plays.
He caught it on the 7-yard line, took it 5 yards back, and ended up on the 12. So, I mean, little things like that. You're going to mess one of those up because it's, trust me, one of the hardest things out there is to watch that ball go that high in the air and track it and know you're inside the 5-yard line.
And a little risk and reward because he showed you why with those two big returns twice. The other return – was excellent as well and gave Indiana great field position, which took the pressure off the offense. When you can get special teams doing things, it takes the pressure off your defense where you, oh, he shanked a punt for 10 yards. Now they've got it at the 40. Mm-hmm. Well, when you pin him down in the six, everybody's fired up on defense. Everybody's jumping around, having a good time. So all three phases fired in this game, and it was really nice to see Griffin Oaks into the wind 51 yards, into the wind 48 yards.
Those were huge because they were really well hit, not only because what do you normally see when you see a long field goal? It's a little lower because you got to get to –
harder.
No, he was way up in the air with him, hit him beautifully, hit him
perfectly.
And the great
thing about letting him try that was there was a no-loss situation.
It's no time on the clock.
Well, it's going to the end of the half.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's struggled a little bit with confidence. So you say, go out there. Mm-hmm. This kid, you're already up 14-3.
We skipped a 51-yarder against Ohio State.
You sure did.
Because they didn't want to give him the extra 7 yards if he misses it.
Different set of circumstances, different team. You're right.
Exactly.
14-3 lead.
With the 2 seconds on the
choice.
Clock.
Exactly. Hail Marys never get caught. I don't care if you have Simi Cobbs on top of Nick Westbrook's shoulders. It rarely happens. Right. So it's easier to kick when there isn't pressure. Mm-hmm. And what all he had to do was swing his leg at it. We know he has plenty of leg. We've seen the leg in action. And he nailed it. So now what do? Now you have another weapon on offense, which completely changes your play calling when you get around those places. Now all of a sudden, maybe you don't have to think about going for it on 4th-and-7 and 4th-and-6, 48 yards, 47 yards. All of a sudden, that's all back in play, which it might not have been against Ohio State. So now Indiana has that moving forward, outdoors, on grass, into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge, huge, huge step. If you see the Griffin Oaks that we saw 2 years ago as a sophomore when he's banging in 55-yarders and making almost everything he looked at, that's going to take a ton of pressure off Ramsey and Orlego. Mm-hmm. It's going to take pressure off the defense because you're probably going to get some points and not have a short field turnaround.
Yep.
So there were so many things you could check off in those boxes in the game against Virginia. It was a good win. I don't think that's not going to be a Virginia team you're going to see in a bowl later this year. I don't think that's going to be the case. But you know what? That's Virginia's problem. That's not Indiana's problem.
Look, it's a team that has not that unlike a talent than what we have. And I think people miss that every time they think of some of these teams that we've played in the recent past, and especially Virginia a few years ago. Again, they blew our doors off over there a few years ago. Are we a little bit better this year? Yeah, I mean,
no
question.
They beat us here 34-31 on the last-second field goal as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question we're a better team right now, but they got athletes out there just the same. They're in the ACC. You'll pull a game that surprises you. I think you're right. I'm not sure they're a bowl team, but they've got athletes. And what they did do is because they played William and Mary, they didn't have to show much of anything on film. And so there was all kinds of exotic looks on defense. So that's a little bit of what was going on with the run game early, the offense in general early. The defense of the Hoosiers we haven't even talked about yet, and I thought the defense was really fantastic
game. Let's talk about those exotic fronts because I want to make a point here, which I think is valid. Look how well Ramsey played against multiple exotic fronts he's never seen before.
Yeah, and he got the benefit of, three, four, five series before he had to see him.
Hey.
You can go talk about him, but you're exactly right. He showed patience.
Didn't do anything to throw him off kilter, did it?
He was accurate with it. I mean, he didn't just immediately start throwing the ball away. Again, you've seen some pressure on Lego and Ramsey even before then. He didn't just immediately start tossing balls over the sideline, just to go on to the next play. He was 16 of 20. So, I mean,
11 in a row. He was 12 of 13 at one point.
He showed great patience with that, so no question.
And
they never
really
got
a redshirt freshman.
They never really got the run game going, which is something that we're going to have to deal with
soon. They had
one
really good drive when they brought in the freshman Morgan Ellison.
Ellison
they went 12 plays, I think 85 yards down to the 3. And it was the, do you kick it there? Do you not kick it there? I think he made the right call, and I'm going to tell you why on that. It's a 10-point game right there. If you kick it, it's 13, okay? Two touchdowns still beat you.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that is, if they score and they get the ball back again, they have to score another touchdown. So you play that prevent.
Well, that was the one that was on their 3-yard line also.
That's
the
point.
And you've been playing some of that on defense where you work on field
position. But if you score there, it's 17-3 scores and you're in the barn.
Well, let's keep in mind what happened. You pinned them down there.
They go 3-and-out.
And they go 3-and-out and they punt. And when they punt to Jayshon Harris, who I believe takes it into the end zone.
Touchdown.
So, it worked out pretty quickly in your favor.
And their punter did not have a very good game either. And that was part of it. So Tom Allen put it on his defense. They had not really been run over. The only time really that they and he addressed that today in his press conference. He said, look, when Gooch makes the hit and McCray scoops and scores
–
and the whole defense just sprinted 100 yards down to the other end to celebrate, and everybody's crazy on the sideline, and then they pull the rug out and say it's targeting.
Yep.
So it's a 14-point swing because Virginia gets 15 yards.
And goes into the end zone.
And they score, a play or two later on that. They didn't fall apart after that.
Right.
They kept going, and then they came back and just – they looked different in the sense where it wasn't we're not going to put this in the Hall of Fame, per se, for offensive efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
But they ran the ball right down their throat and it was all running plays. I think it was six or eight in a row. Just it was either Ramsey keeper, Ellison, Ramsey, and it just kept on going.
Right.
And they went to the line every time. They never huddled. Why is that important? Virginia couldn't sub.
Couldn't sub,
and they were dead on their feet, and you just saw them. They couldn't get to the football.
Took almost 6 minutes off the clock.
And it was
15 plays, 72 yards.
15 plays. Sorry, I thought it was 12.85, but you get the point. You haven't seen Indiana teams perhaps do that in the past in a situation – and it's all situational. Each game's going to be different. But to have a freshman running back and a redshirt freshman quarterback lead that whole drive.
Yeah.
I mean, that was impressive. Any way you cut it. And it's an ACC opponent. I know I just told you, Virginia's probably not going to go to a bowl game. But Indiana did what they were supposed to do there. And even though it didn't result in the perfect points, the field shifted. The defense took care of their job. And boom, away you go. And I thought the defense played really solidly in that game. I don't remember them getting gashed for any big plays at all.
I think it was 55 yards rushing. Again, if you're going to go into any game against a Power 5 team of any sort and hold them to 55 yards rushing, you're going to take that at the beginning of the day.
How many 20-yard plays did they have?
66 pass attempts. Again, Virginia does not want to throw it 66 times is going to be my guess going forward.
And well, they couldn't run the ball. They had to do something else. And when you're up 17-3 because Griffin Oaks makes a 51-yard field goal, now they're off. Offenses out of their comfort zone. Now they have to start doing things they're not used to doing.
Virginia had 20 more plays offensively
than Indiana. Ten minutes more time of possession.
And four fewer yards.
Yeah.
Well, isn't a big score, you know, yardage day for the
Hoosiers.
Look
at the time of possession.
But again,
10 minutes.
Yeah, but again, the punt returns were a huge part of that. Defense kept you in it, no question about that.
But that's the great news. The defense was on the wrong end of the time of possession by almost a quarter.
Yeah.
And kept you in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And did they get gashed? How many 20-yard plays did Virginia have? Do you have that there?
I don't have that
but
right here.
I can remember maybe one or two. One to the tight end late over the middle. They weren't getting down the sideline.
No.
They're only big. You know what Virginia's big plays were? 15-yard penalty, pass interference on Fant, pass interference on Riggins. Those were their big plays.
There wasn't much.
It wasn't anything they created.
The long was 20 yards.
That's it.
20
that's,
and 18 and 19. So, I mean, that's all
fantastic.
You had. Those passes, yeah.
I mean, usually the 20 play stat is rung up a little bit.
Now, we will be back Wednesday because we've got to leave here shortly. I did write a piece on this, by the way. Started a blog out. NovakOnSports.com if you want to read that about this. Again, it's not the Super Bowl, folks, but this is a really, really good win for the Hoosiers right now. They're going to need two more good wins here in the next 2 weeks against Florida International and Georgia Southern. And then the Big Ten starts, the rest of the Big Ten starts in earnest, and it gets really hard really fast.
Quick football notes
because
it's
Penn State. It's Michigan. It does not get easier.
Georgia Southern kickoff was announced today. It's 3:30, same as this weekend against Florida. Jay Sean Harris is Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week.
Yep.
And Hayden Whitehead has been added to the Ray Guy watch list for the nation's best punter. Four punts down inside the 10-yard in two games.
Yeah.
He's had four punts returned in two games, and he's punted, 12 times? I mean, that's exactly what you needed.
Punting is field position. It's a part of defense. It's
momentum.
About field position, and it's you don't want to give up the big plays. And you saw the difference. Jay Sean Harris made all the difference.
Yep.
Peyton Whitehead didn't have any of that against him. Oh, by the way, Wednesday when we come back, we will have to talk a little bit about, I hate to call it a quarterback controversy.
It's not.
It's a quarterback two-headed monster, whatever you want to call it. It's very interesting. But
Tom Allen said his quarterback is still Richard Lego, and Peyton Ramsey's still going to get snaps. And it's going to vary game to game on the situation of who gets more of them.
And
it should.
And hopefully the kids are as good about it as they were this past week, because that's going to be key to it. But
and
we'll
Allen,
talk a lot more about that on Wednesday. But before we get on out of here, because we do have to go to Monday Night Football, again, doubleheader tonight, New Orleans at Minnesota coming right up. And later tonight, the Chargers at Denver. The Colts, the NFL local team.
Speaking of great punting, that was the best thing that they had.
We had them on the air for you this Sunday, and they went out and stunk the joint up. Just absolutely in every phase,
except
stunk
punting.
The joint up.
Rigoberto Sanchez.
Give him 50
yards of punt.
Give him punting then, I guess. I'll look at everything else as stinking.
Fairly so. It's not hard because that's the thing that stuck out like a sore thumb.
You had Scott Tolzien with a pair of pick sixes. You had T.Y. Hilton. I'm not a huge fan of Greg Doyle, but he did have a great point in his article, a great comment in his article that T.Y. Hilton said he fumbled when he was going down to avoid contact.
Yeah.
And I just love, I mean, it's just as snarky as you can possibly get, but that's exactly what yesterday was like. Couldn't hold on to the ball, falling down to avoid getting hit.
Adam Mitre
in a football game.
Misses an extra point, misses a field goal. Let's see, the offensive line that started a seventh round pick, two undrafted free agents. A first-round pick who was a turnstile for most of the first half.
Yeah.
And Joe Haig, I think, was a fifth-round pick when Muhort, because he can only play two downs a season, it seems like.
Yeah.
So you wonder why the offensive line, and they couldn't run the ball, and you wonder why Tolzien was sacked and was under pressure all day. Well, it's not hard to figure it out.
Yeah.
11 new starters on defense held Jared Goff to his first win as an NFL quarterback, 300 yards passing.
Yeah, what, 49 points at the end of the day?
A 46-9, I believe the final was. Well, the defense scored 16 of those because the Colts also had a safety because the line got blown up and Mack was tackled in the end zone when he fumbled, and the Colts got it back. I guess that saved him five in the end. But the point was everybody stunk up the joint.
Yep.
And when you have to be one-dimensional in a league that's a quarterback league and you don't have a quarterback named Andrew Luck or somebody similar, you see what happens. And the reason why the Colts didn't run the ball was you can't run the ball down 27-3. You can't do it.
They couldn't run it with 0-0 either.
There's your other problem.
Yeah.
You have no balance.
It was 20. It was 10 to nothing.
You have a quarterback that one hops throws when guys are open. And I don't really know what happened here, but I know Chris Ballard brought in all 11 guys playing defense, and they were absolutely shredded.
Well, that's not entirely true. Some of them are leftovers. But, yeah, he did. I mean, there's a lot of them out there that are his. It's half the roster.
New starters.
Half the roster in general are brand new, and it's going to take more than that, apparently.
John Simon, the only bright spot on the defense?
If that. I mean, I mean he's a
nice
player. He
made more good plays than anybody else did, so I guess he gets something.
I mean, Marcus Hunt had a sack.
Right.
Malik Hooker played and you didn't notice him.
Yeah,
you
know? making plays at 37-3, though.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to get excited about that. And it's hard for Colts fans to buy into what's going on here.
Look, it was 10-0 after a field goal,
which
is not atrocious, and a pick six. This is 4 minutes into the game. So you're already behind the eight ball in a big way. You have a nice drive to go down and kick a field goal, but then your defense can't stop
anybody. No.
Your offense can't do anything.
It wasn't even a nice drive. It was a big play by Mack, who scores a touchdown. Pagano decides not to review it for some reason.
That's right.
And says, well, we're just going to hurry up and punch it in on them, except we forgot to punch it in on them and settle for a 20-yard field goal.
Right.
20.
At least
2-0.
At least Vinatieri made that.
First down, Mack. Second down, Mack. The guy just ran down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring Turbin in on third down. Your goal line back and score like five touchdowns last year inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
And then you threw the ball.
And he blocks.
For a guy that can't throw the ball.
There you go.
And so what went wrong with the Colts?
The only good I have there is that you went up against Wade Phillips, and it was a really good defense last year were the Rams.
But the bad news is
you stunk on both sides.
Who never won a game.
Exactly.
And the Rams in the last four season openers had scored 33 points. They scored 46 in this game.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to wonder how this is going to work.
It's not.
The good news is the Cardinals lost one of their best players yesterday, and they're in town Sunday.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock.
And I wrote about that game also.
There you go.
On NovakOnSports.com. And it wasn't pretty. And the article isn't pretty either because the game wasn't pretty. It stunk. I don't know where they go from here. We can talk more about it on a Wednesday. Arizona comes to town. You got two more games. That on paper you got a win coming up in the Niners and the Browns. But I'm not so sure there's a lot there that makes you think that's the case. And unfortunately, we've had to say that a lot the last couple of years, is how bad they stunk. And a couple times they've surprised us. I'm not sure this group has that in them. Certainly don't without Andrew Luck. I think we all know that. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Don't go anywhere. We got Monday Night Football tonight. It's a doubleheader. New Orleans is at Minnesota, and then the Chargers are at Denver, and that is coming up in just a couple minutes. Reds baseball tomorrow and Wednesday. Again, we'll join you Wednesday, 7 o'clock. So talk to you then. You've been in the zone.